2 Timothy. It's one of those little tiny books. If you're using the Bible that's provided for you, it's on page 1853. Toward the end of the Bible in the New Testament, 2 Timothy. And while you're turning there, I want to just make a quick announcement about the car show. Car show is a great opportunity to make an outreach connection. And there's wonderful volunteer opportunities, and it would be helpful for us to know if you're planning on volunteering. So if you would, after the service, be sure there'll be some people out there to meet you that you can sign up for some of the different opportunities for volunteerism. We can also use people to just come. In fact, I hope that every one of you will plan on coming. It's an opportunity to meet people in the community. So when they're here, if you're here, even if there's not a specific activity that you're doing or in charge of, if you'll just come and just shake hands with people, get to know them, welcome them to the campus, this is your opportunity to reach out and share with somebody else. So just encourage you for that. And be sure and sign up if you can volunteer immediately following the service. 2 Timothy chapter 2, excuse me, chapter 1, and beginning with verse 5. And the context of this is Paul, who is a like a big brother mentor to Timothy, is talking to his son in the faith that he's poured into, that he's had this connection with over the years. And he says in verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now we know from the scripture, please keep your Bible open because we're going to be referring back here in just a moment. But what we find here is that Timothy had a grandmother named Lois. We don't know a whole lot about her, but first one to come to Christ in the family. And from the reference, since there's no reference to her husband, we don't know whether he was still alive, whether she was a widow, or whether he was alive but did not become a believer along with her. We don't know those details. But we do know that she came to Christ, and then she passed her faith on to her daughter. And Eunice, her daughter, came to faith. Now, we don't know a whole lot about that situation either, except that the Bible says in the book of Acts that her husband was Greek. And from the context, it seems to indicate that he was not a believer. So she's symbolic, actually, many of us might identify with that, with a person who is a spiritually single parent, whether they are physically a single parent or not. And we know that there are people that when one person comes to faith or the other comes to faith, there are dads that are the one of faith in the family, or moms who are the one of faith in the family. So this is a situation where Timothy's grandmother was a person of faith, and father, we don't know whether he was alive or had not accepted the gospel, and that his mother came to faith, but his dad did not, and then he receives the message of the gospel. These women were faithful in passing along the message of the gospel to Timothy. And we can turn over the page here to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read verse 14. We can see the effectiveness of this, because Paul is kind of referring to that as he talks here in verse 14 of chapter 3. He says, "But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So Paul is saying, you got fabulous Christian upbringing. You were immersed in the Scriptures from the time you were little. And he was talking about how that gave Timothy the foundation to become the spiritual leader that he became. You know, when I look at it, I think back on all the Loises and the Eunices in my life that took the role of spiritual grandmother, spiritual mother in my life. Well, first there was my own mother. From my earliest recollection, I can remember her teaching me Bible verses and teaching me Bible stories. We had a family that had some difficulties. It was not an easy family. We had a lot of struggles. But one thing that I remember very clearly was that putting into my mind Bible verses and putting into my mind Bible stories. And then they faithfully, even though they were in the midst of their own struggles, they faithfully took me to church as a small child. And there I had, especially in my early years, it was mostly women that were my teachers. As I grew older, then there were men that seemed to be more involved. But in those early years, some of these women were single. Some of them were married without children. Some had children. Some widowed or divorced. But they were spiritual mothers and grandmothers to me. And I can remember going into my classes and we would get little stars by our name if we memorized a Bible verse. And you get a certain number of stars and you could get a Bible or some little gift that they would give us. And then if you had enough stars, you could go on an outing and even a camp out. I just remember some of those motivational things that they used to try to help us put God's Word in our hearts. And then there were the Bible stories, and then there were songs that we learned. Some of them we sang here today. That kind of dates me a little bit, but those were the songs that we were singing when I was a kid. And those things went deep into my heart. Now, I was not a believer. I rejected the things that I learned there. Most of it was, I didn't understand grace. I didn't understand how God forgives. I grew up in a fairly legalistic kind of background, and I thought that being a Christian was all these things that you do to be good enough for God to save you. And I didn't get the message of the gospel, and eventually just gave up and went the other way. But something that was planted in me, the seed of God's Word that was planted in me by these spiritual mothers and grandmothers, stuck. And I can remember that some of these things that I learned, like God will hear you when you pray, came back to me when I was in the midst of my crisis and when I was hopeless and felt like there was no place to turn and my life was coming to an end through my lifestyle and my addictions and so on. And when I called out to God, He answered. And that's when these verses, like, and I couldn't have quoted the chapter and verse at the time, but it was like 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, that was a verse that came back to me that God is a God of forgiveness. Or the one who comes to me, I will never turn away. John 6:37. Or God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. If I would just put my faith in God that He would receive me, that's why He came. Now those were the things that were planted in me. And then God was able to bring life to those seeds that were planted by those spiritual mothers. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And you know, interestingly, right after I turned to God, I didn't really even actually know that I'd officially given my life to God. It just started coming out. Because I remember that one night when I finally decided, another friend of mine and I decided we're going to go join a Jesus freak commune outside of Los Angeles. They looked like us, they acted like us, except they were Christians. And that, in my mind, I didn't know at the time, but as I look back, that was when I stopped running from God and started running toward God. And that's when the transformation took place. And the next day at work, you know, I was still using, still messed up, but old songs started popping up in my head. You know, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Song that I learned when I was little. These songs like we, you know, about faith started coming up from inside that had been planted when I was little. Through the ministry of the church and through spiritual mothers and fathers. Then as an early Christian, I can remember in my early years as a Christian, there was Carol. She was married to a guy who was like a big brother to me in the faith that helped me in my way and mentored me. And she mentored me as well, and she poured into me, helped me grow up, because I didn't know. I had missed a lot of years in my wild life, and I had to catch up a little bit in maturity, and she helped me. And then there was Hazel, a woman who was a staff member at our church, that really took an interest in me and prayed for me and shared her faith. Spiritual moms. Now, as I look around the congregation here, I know many of you serve in that role. Some of you have children of your own, some of you don't. Some of you are married, some are single. But you are taking the role of spiritual mom around here. Carrying the role of praying for us, of serving the children, serving youth, serving in the community of faith and small groups and prayer and other ways. That is a high calling. And on behalf of our church, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for letting God use you. You will never know until the Lord comes how much your contribution has really, how what a difference it's made. I'm just one voice. But I think I can speak collectively for the community of faith. Thank God for you. And may God bless you as you continue to let His love and His Spirit flow through you. Because you are our moms and we celebrate you today.
It was wonderful this morning to hear the children share about their moms. Or to hear what God is doing through the moms in the lives of the children. And as you get older and you have children of your own, you start to remember those things that you learned. And there are some things that mothers teach us. Mothers teach logic. She says, if you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. Mothers teach medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. Mothers teach us to think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling test, you'll never get a good job. Mothers teach us to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me. Mothers teach us humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. Mothers teach us how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. Mothers teach us about genetics. You're just like your father. I resent that. Mothers teach us about our roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? Mothers teach us about the wisdom of age. When you get to my age, you will understand. Mothers teach us about anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. Mothers teach us about receiving. You're going to get it when I get you home. Most importantly, mothers teach us about justice. One day you will have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. We've all heard that one, haven't we? Then you'll see what it's like. I can't wait. Moms have an important role in our lives. They teach us many lessons. And each year, we take a day where we recognize that, where we give appreciation for mothers and all that they've meant to us in our lives and show our appreciation for them. Today we're going to read, if you turn with me to Proverbs 31, I'm going to read about a mom and a wife and what that looks like. Proverbs 31, we're going to start with verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. As we've read this, some of these we probably find fairly amusing. I'm sure some women still do these things. They select wool and flax and work with eager hands, but I'm not sure too many of us here still do that. Bringing food from afar. We go to Wise, we go to Giant, and that's where we get our food. Some people have gardens, but it's in their backyards. Provides food for her servants' girls, and that made me laugh because I thought, how many here have servant girls? And she makes clothing for her beds. And most of us, when we need clothing for our beds, I never heard it described that way, but clothing for our beds, we run to Walmart and we pick up a pack of sheets that have the pillowcases and everything, and there's our bed clothing. And we laugh at these things because we don't see too much of that going on in our culture today, those type of things. But they've been replaced with other things, haven't they? They've been replaced with cooking and cleaning and running kids to every practice under the sun. Those things may have fallen away, but other things have taken their place. Women are still busy, always active, always doing. We realize that what they did was a cultural thing. And we realize today the things that women are involved with, it's a cultural thing. It's all part of where we live and who we are today. But there are other characteristics that were listed in this that were godly characteristics, things that we see today going on in our homes. So she takes care of her family. Moms do that. She brings her husband good, not harm. Most moms do that. Most wives. She works with eager hands. Women are always active, always doing. She provides for her family. She sets about her work vigorously. She provides the needed things for her home. She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. I mean, she doesn't have anxiety and worry. She knows things are going to fall into place. She speaks with wisdom. Moms have a lot of wisdom. And faithful instruction is on her tongue. She's not idle. When you hear those things, you think, wow, what an incredible woman that is. There's a story about a teacher who asked a boy a math question. She said, suppose your mother baked a pie and there were seven of you, two parents and five children. What part of the pie would you get? And the little boy said, I'd get a sixth. And she said, no, you're not understanding fractions. She said, there's seven of you. He said, no, you don't know my mom. He said, my mom would say she didn't want any pie. She would give for her child. She would sacrifice something that she wanted. That's a mom. She gives up those desires, those things that she wants for her children. And this speaks about the heart of a mom, always going beyond her own needs and her own desires. But also says she helps those in need. Verse 20 says she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. If you go back to Proverbs 14:21, it says, he who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. So on top of all these other duties, you see a mom that she does, she's also helping those that are in need. She's showing kindness to those that need help, that need things. How many times people have needed meals and you call and say, hey, can you make more? Women are always helping. But our scripture for today in verse 29 says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And we can look at society today and we see women doing incredible things in this world. Politicians, different things, that they're just doing amazing things. But he says, you surpass them all. Who is this woman that surpasses all these other wonderful things that are going on? If you look at verse 30, he says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The difference between those that do all these wonderful things and the woman that this writer is describing is the fact that she fears the Lord. And when you go back to the beginning of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We often look at that word fear and we think, you know, are we supposed to be afraid of God? And that's not what he's getting at. When he talks about fear, the original meaning of that means to have reverence, to be devout, or to have a sense of duty towards. So when you're fearing the Lord, you're showing reverence to him. You're showing duty towards him. Women, you do great and wonderful things in your families, in your homes, in your communities, in this church. From the time you wake up in the morning till you close your eyes at night, and sometimes those sleepless hours are worrying about your kids and the different things that go on in your life. You can do great works, but your praise is not going to come from those things. While they're wonderful things and they're godly things, your praise is going to come from your reverence and obedience to God. Because anytime we do those things apart from our reverence to God, then that's our reward. Whatever we get from that, that will be our reward. But when you serve out of reverence for God, you are living out that character of who Jesus Christ was. Each one of you, whether you're single, married, have kids, don't have kids, deserve a day to be honored. And that's what we're doing today. We're honoring you. Your faithfulness to your families and to the body of Christ are appreciated by so many because of all that you do. And much of what you do is setting the example for those that are coming behind you. Again, whether you're a mom, whether you're not, whether you're married, whether you're not, you're setting an example for those young ladies that are coming behind you. You are going to be the blueprint for what a godly woman is. And for that, that's what you're going to be praised for. Verse 31 says, give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. We thank you for your works. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. And we thank you that you bring glory and honor to your families. That example that you set as you live your life for the Lord, is that in the labors that you will see, the fruit that you will see from the labors, that will be your reward. As you see other women taking on those characteristics that you have set the example for, that's going to be your reward. But you deserve a day of rest. There was a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old that presented their mom with a house plant. They'd used their own money to buy this plant, went out, picked it out, and she was just thrilled to death to have this house plant. But the older one said with a sad face, now, there was a bouquet that we really wanted to give you. It had a beautiful ribbon on it, and it was big, but we just didn't have the money for it. It was really pretty, but it was really too expensive. And on the ribbon it said, rest in peace. And we thought it would be just perfect because you're always asking for a little peace so that you can rest. Moms, I trust that today you will have that rest and you will have that peace for a day because you so deserve it. You deserve much more than just a day. But we set aside this day to honor you and thank you for what you've done. Husbands, I want to challenge you to let your wives rest in peace today. Let them enjoy their day. I'd like to invite the worship team to come as we close.